step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you're here. Thanks for choosing the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Your quest for podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained ends here. We invite you to enjoy all our shows we have on this network. And right now, let's start with Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For over 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death, and so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. You may have heard the expression, "We are divine souls having a human experience," that our souls are so much bigger than we are. That consciousness, whatever consciousness is connected to everything and outlives our human existence. Today, we are going to go where we've never gone on this podcast before, and we're going to explore consciousness and who we really are, powerful, immortal souls. We'll start by hearing some veridical near-death experience stories, times when there was no way people could witness anything, because they were flatlined on an operating table, but their consciousness could see factual things with the eyes of their soul. You'll hear from a scientist, Professor Donald Hoffman, speculating on a theory about what consciousness may be, followed by a great story by Dr. Bruce Lipton, once a disbeliever, about an experiment when some cells of a man were transported 350 miles away from him and observed at the same time the man was being observed. Whatever the man experienced, the cells in the test tube responded. Dr. Lipton believes who we really are is not the cells or the human body, but rather the space in between. I can't wait for you to hear all of these good things, so let's get started. First, let's listen to a conversation between two doctors about a man who came back to life after being declared dead and what he told the doctors. Meet cardiac surgeon Dr. Rudy as he chats with Dr. Milligan.
We had a very unfortunate individual who on Christmas Day had, from an oral infection,
okay,
infected his native valve. The body recognizes that as something abnormal that it's got to take care of.
Okay.
One of my junior partners was on call, and he had to do an emergency valve resection. Once we were able to accomplish the repair of the aneurysm and the replacement of the valve, we could not get the person off of the bypass. Every time the 4 or 5 liters of blood that we were pumping around his body, we would reduce down to 2 or 3, he'd begin to weaken and his blood pressure would go down and so on. And to make a long story short, we simply couldn't get him off the heart-lung machine. Finally, we just had to give up. I mean, we just said, we cannot get him off of the heart-lung machine, so we're gonna have to pronounce him dead.
Right.
So we did that. And so the anesthesiologist turned his machine off, and the bellows that were breathing for the patient stopped. Stop. That machine was quiet. The anesthesiologist went into the surgeon's lounge. He hadn't eaten anything all day, so he went in to have a sandwich. Then the people who usually clean up the instruments and all that were coming in and taking away all these tools. And my surgical assistant closed the patient in a way that a post-mortem exam could be done, because anyone who succumbs on the table by law has to have an autopsy.
Autopsy, right.
Well, the machine that records the blood pressure and the pulse and the left atrial pressure and all the monitoring lines and things continued to run the paper out onto the floor in a big heap. Nobody bothered to turn it off. And then we put down a transesophageal echo probe, which is just a long tube that has a microphone on the end of it, and we can get a beautiful picture on a monitor of the heart beating. Well, that machine was left on, and the VCR tape continued to run.
Right.
Well, the assistant surgeon and I went in and took our gowns off and gloves and masks and things and came back, and we were in our short sleeve shirts and we were standing at the door discussing if there was anything else we could have done, any other medicines we could have given, whatever, to have made this a success. And as we were standing there, it had been at least 20 minutes that this man recorded no heartbeat, no blood pressure, no movement of the heart, just
right.
Sitting there. All of a sudden we looked up and we saw some electrical activity. And pretty soon the electrical activity turned into a heartbeat. Very slow, 30, 40 a minute. And we thought, well, that's kind of an agonal thing. And we see that occasionally, that the heart will continue to beat even though the patient can't generate a blood pressure or pump any blood. Well, pretty soon we look and he's actually generating a pressure. So I start yelling, get anesthesia back in here and get the nurses. To make a very long story short, without putting him back on cardiopulmonary bypass, heart lung machine and stuff, we started giving him some medicines and anesthesia started giving him oxygen, and pretty soon he had a blood pressure of 80 and pretty soon a blood pressure of 100, and his heart rate was now up to 100 a minute. You know, he recovered and had no neurologic deficit. And for the next 2 weeks, all of us went in and were talking to him about what he experienced, if anything. And he talked about the bright light at the end of the tunnel, as I recall, and so on. But the thing that astounded me was that he described that operating room floating around and saying, I saw you and Dr. Cattaneo standing in the doorway with your arms folded talking. Didn't know where the anesthesiologist was, but he came running back in. And I saw all of these post-its sitting on this TV screen. And what those were any call I got, the nurse would write down who called and the phone number and stick it on the monitor, and then the next post-it would stick to that post-it, and then I'd have a string of post-its of phone calls I had to make. He described that. I mean, there's no way he could have described that before the operation because I didn't have any calls.
No.
Right?
And he's sitting on, and he's lying on the, so he must have been floating.
He was up there.
Yeah.
He described the scene, things that there is no way he knew. I mean, he didn't wake up in the operating room and see all this stuff.
No.
I mean, he was out.
Right.
And was out for, I don't know, even a day or two while we recovered him in the intensive care unit. So what does that tell you? Was that his soul up there?
It's hard to know. It certainly brings that possibility into play.
It always makes me very emotional. There have been other instances, like one other I remember so vividly, was a guy who was on anticoagulation, medicines that keep you from clotting. And I don't even remember the operation, but we had to do him right away. And you try and reverse that as much as possible, but it's impossible to completely do it. And we were in there and we'd finished the surgery and we just simply could not stop this person from bleeding. I mean, we pulled out every gun in the armory to try and get this.
Everything you could possibly do.
Yeah, and we finally decided we're not going to be able to stop this bleeding. And all of a sudden, nobody spoke. Because everybody in that room felt a presence. The anesthesiologist and I talked about it afterwards. I mean, there was no question. There was a presence in that room. And he stopped bleeding just like that.
How do you explain that? What is your take on that, Dr. Rudy?
Oh, there's something out there that, you know, people with faith believe is there. Some people call it God. Some people call it other things, Buddha or Muhammad or whoever. It has convinced me there is something out there.
Something out there. It is so good of you to share this with people who don't get the opportunity to be at those near-death or post-death experiences.
I don't know. It just convinces you that the strings are being handled up here somewhere, I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
And it makes me very emotional.
I can tell. Is there any last things that you'd like to say?
Well, just that I presented this case to 13 other cardiac surgeons throughout the country in a special meeting, and they had had several similar experiences, not quite as dramatic as the one I had, but everybody that deals with that every day has had those experiences. It's not just me.
It's definitely not just him. Here's a quick story. Kimberly Clark Sharp was a social worker at a medical center in Seattle. One day, one of her patients, Maria, went into cardiac arrest and flatlined. When Maria awoke, she was trying to tell Kimberly that she'd left her body and watched her resuscitation from the corner of the room, and she was able to provide details on who was in the room and exactly what they were doing. Then Maria said she found herself floating outside the hospital and became distracted by a tennis shoe. She said it was on a window ledge 3 or 4 floors from the ground. She described it as a man's dark blue tennis shoe, well-worn, scuffed on the left side where the little toe would go. Patient Maria was adamant that Kimberly go find the shoe as evidence that she really saw it and that she left her body. Kimberly began to search from room to room. Finally, she found the tennis shoe exactly matching Maria's description on a window ledge of the 3rd floor on the west side of the hospital. This is what we call a verified near-death experience. We'll be right back with some amazing stories. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
there. There's more Sandra coming right up.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
Hey, the Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel is waiting for you now.
Go to coasttocoastam.com for more information.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Dr. Sky. Keep it right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and on our episode today, we are looking at veridical evidence coming from near-death experiences, proving that our consciousness, our soul, is outside of our body. Here's a quick story. Dr. Brian Weiss reports that a blind elderly woman had a heart attack in the hospital where he was working as a psychiatrist. As the resuscitation team tried to revive the unconscious woman, she floated out of her body and stood near the window, watching the whole thing unfold. She calmly watched them pump air into her lungs and thump on her chest. At one point, a pen fell out of her doctor's pocket and rolled on the floor close to the window where she was standing. After a little while, the doctor walked over and picked up the pen and put it back into his pocket and continued working to try to save her. A few days later, the woman informed the cardiologist that she had witnessed the whole team trying to resuscitate her. Her doctor told her that she was mistaken and probably hallucinated due to the lack of oxygen in her brain. Then she gave the doctor the shock of his life. "But I saw your pen roll over to the window," she said. She then went on to describe the resuscitation procedure in detail.
When Dr. Weiss interviewed the cardiologist days later, he was very shaken up about how this lady, who was not only comatose during the incident, but also blind, could have seen those unlikely details, all of which were confirmed accurate. Next, we're going to hear a few words from Professor Donald Hoffman, who studies cognitive science, perception, evolution, and consciousness, who is also the author of 120 scientific papers and 3 books, including The Case Against Reality, Why Evolution Hid the Truth from Our Eyes. His writing has appeared in scientific journals. He's been on the program Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman, and his TED Talk, titled Do We See Reality as It Is, has almost 3 million views. In this clip, he'll share about physicalism, also known as when you die, you die. However, there is a world of consciousness that science has yet to explain. He offers a very interesting theory on the nature of consciousness that I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing. Here is Professor Donald Hoffman.
Physicalism has a very clear implication for death. If space-time is fundamental, and elementary particles like electrons and quarks and protons and so forth are the fundamental nature of reality, and what you are, what your body is just a complex assemblage of particles. And your consciousness is somehow an emergent property of certain activities of those particles, say brain activity. Then it's very, very clear that in death, when the brain dissolves, your consciousness dissolves, and that's the end of the story. That's it. That's a very, very clear implication of physicalism. But if consciousness is fundamental and space-time is just an interface, and our bodies are merely icons that we use to represent certain interactions of conscious agents, then on that approach, there is the possibility that some aspect of my consciousness survives death. Now, there I have to look at the mathematics of the model and go into it, but it may be, for example, that the bare awareness that's associated with me, just awareness without content, that survives. But all the details of Donald Hoffman and his life story within this interface, maybe that all dissolves. That's a story about what is consciousness up to. And we can talk about if consciousness is fundamental, what is it doing and why? What is the dynamics of consciousness about? To answer the question about death, we might have to answer that question too. So I'll try a stab at that question because I think it relates to the death question. So what is consciousness doing and why? The right answer is I don't know. And I've only seen one idea that seems deep enough to at least be worth thinking about. And I'm not saying it's the right idea, but only one idea that seems deep enough to at least be a candidate. And it again comes from Gödel's incompleteness theorem. And Gödel says that essentially, no matter how much you explore within a particular conceptual system, you can't get all the truth. There's always going to be more to explore mathematically. So if consciousness is the fundamental nature of reality, and consciousness is all there is, then mathematical structure is only about the possibilities of consciousness. That's all that there is to be about. And so what if what consciousness is doing, since the exploration of mathematical structure is in principle unending, then perhaps the exploration of the possibilities of consciousness itself is in principle unending. And therefore, consciousness, what it's up to is exploring all of its potentialities. And the reason it's continuing to do that, from our perspective, it's continuing to do that, is because there's no end to it in principle. So consciousness itself is, in some sense, always learning about itself. And so perhaps then what we are, what people are, and what cats are, and what dogs are, and what amoebas are, and so forth, is consciousness trying on different headsets, different realities, and exploring and losing itself. So this is a very interesting idea that the consciousness chooses to really explore so deeply that it loses itself in the exploration, doesn't even know what it is. It becomes a physicalist. It actually thinks that consciousness isn't fundamental. It goes through the whole bit and then slowly has to wake up. And in so doing, it really explores what it's not and what it is. In some sense, to know what you are, you have to know what you're not. So on that point of view, the Hoffman icon is simply consciousness taking a perspective on itself, looking at itself through a particular space-time headset, taking a little projection. And from that headset, finite, there was a birth, there was growing strong until your 20s and 30s, and then after your 40s, you start declining, and when you're 80s and 90s, you die. And that whole process is just consciousness exploring itself from a particular perspective, in which case, maybe the Hoffman icon and maybe a lot of stuff can be left behind, but in some sense, consciousness itself has learned something through that experience, and the 8 billion other people and the quadrillions of amoebas and the who knows how many viruses and so forth. Consciousness is just trying on innumerable headsets. And when it's done with that headset, it takes it off. And awareness is perfectly fine. The raw awareness is fine. But the detailed icons that happen to appear, space-time icons, objects in space and time, brains, neurons, all those things, those were just icons. And you studied them and then you realize, pretty cool. Mount Everest, what a beautiful icon. Death Valley, what a beautiful icon. But I'm not that. I'm something even more transcendent than space and time. I'm more transcendent than Death Valley. So consciousness is just waking up. I mean, I'm trying to tell a story. I'm not saying that it's correct. It's the only story I've seen so far that at least is deep enough that it's worth taking seriously.
I know that's some deep thinking, but it goes along with my belief that we come to this earth forgetting who we really are and that our consciousness and our soul is not just in our body. Next, we'll hear some words from a very passionate Dr. Bruce Lipton, once a disbeliever, who is now an internationally recognized authority in bridging science and spirit and a leading voice in new biology. He's the author of several books, including The Biology of Belief, Unleashing the Power of Consciousness, Matter, and Miracles.
My name is Bruce Lipton. I'm the author of the best-selling books, Biology of Belief, Spontaneous Evolution, and The Honeymoon Effect. My research on stem cells back in the 60s revealed something to me that I never believed in, and that is spirituality. Oh my God, I'm a scientist, and I was using the word spirituality. I sort of got blackballed from my community because that was against the rules in science to bring it up. So I left science, but I came back at Stanford University with research back in the 90s and then published some great papers. And as a result, I have been having a most wonderful life on this planet. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I never believed in spirituality as a scientist. It was genes and proteins and chromosomes and all that kind of stuff. But through the studies of the cells, there was one important little fact that came in and disturbed everything. And that was very simply this. No two people are the same biologically. And I go, what do you mean? I go, well, if I wanted to put my cells into David, his immune system would say not self and reject it. If David's cells come into my body, my immune system will say not self and reject it. Very clear point. There's identity to the cells that are connected to the individual. And no two people have the same identity. And then my ideas about understanding how the cell worked led me to the cell membrane, the skin of the cell. And I said, where's the difference between people? And what I recognized was on the surface of the cells, there are these protein antennas called receptors in the skin of the cell. And I go, well, look, the human, same thing. In the skin, what do I have? Eyes, ears, nose, taste, touch, pain, temperature. I said, these are receivers built into my skin to read the environment. That's what it's all about. So I say, whoa, on the surface of the cells, except for the red blood cells, on the surface of our cells is a set of antennas that is unique to each individual. No two people share the same. And these individual receptors are called, interestingly enough, self-receptors. Self-receptors? Well, right away, that was pretty cool. Self-receivers. And I go, well, what's unique about it? I said, a protein receptor is an antenna. It receives a signal. And I go, so what? I said, no two people receive the same identifying signal from the environment. Each person is receiving their own signal. They used to say, well, the signal is the receptors themselves, the proteins. I go, no, they misunderstood. The receptors receive a signal, okay? And I go, so the signal's not in the cells. I go, no. And an interesting study by a former colleague, friend of mine, Cleve Baxter. He's a guy who developed the advanced lie detector techniques to read the electrical energy of cells.
I hate to interrupt, but I actually think this is a good time to take our break. Remember at the beginning, I was telling you about the test with a man and his cells in a test tube, and he was 350 miles away? This is the story that's coming up next. So buckle your seatbelt. We'll be right back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Keep it here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Sandra Champlain will be right back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. With the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. So head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ufologist Kevin Randall, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are exploring consciousness. Right now, we're listening to Dr. Bruce Lipton, author of The Biology of Belief. Here's the next story of the experiment.
And an interesting study by a former colleague, friend of mine, Cleve Baxter. He's a guy who developed the advanced lie detector techniques to read the electrical energy of cells. Well, he was working with an astronaut, Brian O'Leary. And what they did is they put some Brian O'Leary cells in a test tube and they moved it 350 miles away. At that site, there's a recording device in the test tube to record the electrical activity of the cells. So the experiment runs where the test tube with Brian's cells are 350 miles away. But where Brian is, they set up a screen, split screen, where they have live Brian on one side of the screen and the electrical activity of the cells 350 miles away on the other side of the screen. And what they show was the most amazing thing in the world. And what was that is that if Brian elicited an emotional response, instantaneously, the cells 350 miles away activated their electrical activity.
Oh.
And all of a sudden it says, well, wait a minute, what does this experiment show? And it goes, well, Brian's cells have his receptors on them, his antennas. So it didn't make a difference if Brian's cells were in Brian's body or Brian's cells were in a test tube. The significance is very clear, is that there was a communication simultaneously that affected both Brian and his cells at exactly the same time, but 350 miles apart. The point is then, where's Brian? Well, he's on the screen. Yeah, but Brian's cells are 350 miles over there. I go, then how did Brian's cells activate with Brian? And the answer, ready? Brian's identity is a broadcast. Wherever Brian's cells are, they'll receive that identity. And that's why the cells 350 miles away were receiving on their antennas the same signal that Brian's cells in his body was receiving on their antennas. And the most important fact was, oh my God, identity broadcast that makes us unique is not in the cells, it's in the field. Huh. And in the word field, let's just bring that in because that's quantum physics. And I go, what is field? It's an energy environment. All of us are sitting in a field right now. I mean, wherever I am, wherever you are, guess what? In your area right now, there are television broadcasts and radio broadcasts and cell phone broadcasts and even solar energy in the field that you're sitting in. It's not visible. But if you have a cell phone and the energy in the field comes to the cell phone, you can talk on it, okay? Well, the point about it is simply this. Consider the body as a television set. And what you're seeing now is the Bruce Show. Well, when you're watching a TV, is the show in the TV? I go, no. The show is picked up by the broadcast, played through the TV. The Bruce Show. I go, yeah, this is the Bruce TV, okay? The show that is playing is a broadcast. And then comes the most important insight right there. You ready? It goes, well, you're watching a TV and the TV breaks. And I say, yeah, the TV's dead. It's not working anymore. The most important question is, did the broadcast die when the TV broke? I go, no. I go, what do you mean? I say, well, you can get another TV, plug it in, turn it on. When you tune it to the station, show's back on the air. Oh my God. We can't die because we are the broadcast, not the TV. And the significance is, well, the body TV can break. The broadcast is always there. And if a future embryo shows up with the same antennas that are on your cells right now, you're back, but in a new TV. I go, what does that mean? I said, well, does it have to be male or female? I said, no, that's the TV. That's not the broadcast. Separate the broadcast from the TV for a moment. You're the broadcast. The TV is what you play through. Does it make a difference if this TV is male or female? No. Ready? Does it make a difference if this is white, brown, black, red, yellow? Nope, that's the TV. And all of a sudden, I have to say, oh my God, we have been looking at the TV and considering that's the entity, when in truth, that's the player, right, of the entity. And this is why, let's say Brian O'Leary's cells, they all have the same antennas on them, right? It's like two TVs 350 miles apart, same broadcast, hits both TVs at the same time. And the part that just blew my mind was, oh my God, I'm not in here. I am playing through here. And the first thing that happened in my life, because I was not spiritual, I mean, I was a science guy, okay? No spirituality. But the moment I understood this, it's like it blew my mind, changed my life. My whole world turned upside down. Why? Because I realized something. Are you ready for this? You cannot die. I go, what do you mean? I say, you're not even in here. Right. The TV can go and die, but you are a broadcast that is always here. Now, you have to recognize this. I didn't go through any devotional, like go to some religious church or temple or something and learn all this. I said, no, it had nothing to do with that. I didn't even go to those things. I'm in a laboratory looking at cells in a Petri dish and understanding the nature inside this dish. So what does it mean? I said, well, how long did it take me to go from non-spiritual to spiritual? And here's the joke. About a minute. What do you mean? I go, well, the point was, it's a mechanism. And you could see this mechanism. And it becomes profoundly important. Because if you understand this mechanism, the first thing that I realized, and a weight lifted off my shoulder, I got so light. It was like, oh, my God, freedom. I said, what was the freedom? You ready? No fear of death. Why? I realized the bodies can come and go, but the field is always here. I'm always here. A very important question from science Bruce Brain came up, and the answers came from 50 trillion cells inside my body. I always joke. I always call them Jewish comedian cells. And I say, why? I said, I asked them a question, and the cells responded with a question. I asked the question, why have a body and a spirit? Why not just be a spirit? And the 50 trillion cells welled up and answered with this profound question. Bruce, if you're just a spirit, what does chocolate taste like? I almost said, oh my God, this mechanism. Smell, taste, sight, sound, feelings, emotions. I go, this is a machine. It creates the chemistry of the experiences or the inputs. And I say, and what does the brain do? It translates it into vibrations. So if I see a landscape, does that mean there's a screen in the back of my head with a picture playing inside? I say, no, it's translated into an energy broadcast. So sight, sound, smell, taste. Well, they might be physical things in this world. When they enter the body, the receptors translate them into an energy broadcast that goes up to the brain, and the brain reads the broadcast, okay? So I said, wow, then what was the idea of having a body? And the answer was this, to sense and experience the world. I can have an intellectual discussion, love. Let's write it, a 50-page essay, love. And what if you never experienced love? And I go, it's just an intellectual exercise. I go, but what if you experience love? And I say, oh, my God, it becomes a physiological expression that can blow your mind. Oh, my God. Then my body is a translator of an environment and translates it into vibrational energy. And you ready? This is the cool part. Ready? When I want to read a brain activity, we put wires on a person's head. It's called electroencephalograph. I can read your brain activity. Oh, yeah, my brain activity is working inside my head. There's a new device that reads brain activity, a newer one, not electroencephalograph. It's called magnetoencephalograph. I go, what's different? I said, they both read brain function. I go, yeah, but here's the difference. You ready? Magnetoencephalograph probe doesn't touch your head. It's out here. I'm reading your brain function. There's a very logical moment when you get this right now, and is what? Your thoughts are not contained in your head. Your thoughts are broadcast back into the environment. Where's the broadcast going? You ready? To the original energy field that was playing me is now modified by my life experiences. An energy signal was coming in. My life experiences an energy signal and sends it back. And I go, so what does that mean? Oh, my God. The whole idea of this is karma. What the hell is karma? I say, you came in with a vibration, lived your life experiences, sent vibrations back to source. Guess what? You altered source. You're not the same energy you were before you came into the body. What does that mean? I said, well, your life experiences are going back and adjusting your field. Okay, let's stop for 1 second, because the definition is probably handy right here. In quantum physics, I mentioned the word field is the energy around us, okay? So let me give a definition. Field invisible moving forces that influence the physical world. I go, oh, ready? Spirit. Invisible moving forces that influence the physical world. I go, oh, geez.
There it is.
Quantum physics has provided the whole foundation of spirituality, that it's an energy field that is playing and that we are receivers of that field. And then we have our life experiences, and our experiences are translated into a field, which is sent back to the source. I'm a spiritual entity, but I'm here to do what? Experience the world. But the source coming in is directing me in the movement on my planet. The source coming in is moving me. So here's an analogy. Let's work on this analogy. I can't go to Mars, but I want to know what Mars is like. Well, I can't send a human up, so what do I send up? It's called the Mars rover. It looks like a fancy go-kart with antennas and stuff all over. And I go, so what? I go, there's a guy at NASA. He sends a signal to the Mars rover. What does he do? He causes it to drive here, drive there. He's moving it around. I say, and what's happening? As the rover is moving around, it has sensory receptors, temperature, light, sound, smell, taste, just like a human. And as it's moving around, the sensory receptors are picking up the environmental information, and guess what? Sending it back with the same antenna to the guy at NASA. So the guy at NASA is not on Mars, but has the experience of being on Mars.
We'll be right back with Dr. Bruce Lipton. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay there. Sandra will be right back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com. Over 5 years ago, George Norrie approached me with a unique concept, a dating site for people searching for someone with interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal. From that, ParanormalDate.com was born. It's a unique site for unique people, and it's free to join to look around. If you want to upgrade and enjoy more of our great features, use promo code George for a great discount. So check it out. You got nothing to lose. ParanormalDate.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is afterlife expert Daniel Brinkley, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're listening to the passionate Dr. Bruce Lipton. He has more extraordinary words to share.
People think maybe that you die and you go to heaven. Wrong. You're born into heaven. You came here to create. Yep. You came here to experience. I said, what is heaven? Well, that's your personal creation. I ask anybody, hey, what's your vision of heaven? You give me a definition. I ask the guy next to you, what's their vision? They got a different vision. Vision is a creation. Earth is the place where you do that creation. We came here to create and to experience. Mm-hmm. And when you're dead, the machine's gone. But the experiences are still in the broadcast. When I first understood this, that I'm a broadcast, I'm an energy, I'm a frequency, that I play through this system, that I come here and manifest life experiences. Built into every organism from bacteria to humans is something called the biological imperative. It's biology's term for a recognition that in every organism, there is a drive to survive. I don't care how primitive that organism is, a bacterium. I say, you try and kill a bacterium, the bacterium will do every maneuver possible in its repertoire of behavior, every maneuver possible to do what? Stay alive. So the biological imperative is the mechanism's idea to be aware of threats, because then the biological imperative is to keep you alive. So to make it work, then the nervous system is designed to observe any potential threat that's out there in the world. Well, what's the fear? Well, if it threatens, then I could die. Now, wait, what if I come to the realization that I can't die? Well, then the fear doesn't exist anymore. Mm. And that was the experience of lightness. I shut off the damn mechanism that was watching everything every minute and listening and seeing and hearing anything that would threaten to me. That's a lot of energy that you're using every day without you consciously aware. It's just operating in the background. The moment I lost the fear of death, I also lost the need to keep that machine running to make me aware of threats. It doesn't mean I'm not aware, but the everyday scanning of the entire world looking for the threat, that's what stopped. So what significance was, I got lighter. I had more energy. All of a sudden, a burst of energy. Where did it come from? I had been using this energy all of the time to scan the world for things that threatened me. I let go of the threat. The scanner shuts off. The amount of energy that I was using, boom, came right back. And all of a sudden, I had all this energy. And it's the fear that compromises our life. Fear is a stressor. Fear shuts off the growth and maintenance of the body. Fear shuts off the immune system. Fear means something is threatening you, and it's on the outside. So what happens? Stress hormones shut off the gut, which is all the processing. What is the consequence then of the stress moment? The first two things here are you're shutting down the growth and maintenance of the body to conserve energy. And there's a third issue. The conscious mind is a slow processor. The hindbrain is a super processor, a million times more powerful than the forebrain. So when you're under threat, you don't want to use the thinking. It's too slow. You want to use the hindbrain fast. Now, there are three consequences of stress. One, shut down the growth and maintenance of the body. Two, shut down the immune system. And three, shut down intelligence so that you're running on reaction, reflex, no thinking. Okay? Well, that was not a problem if you were being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, because 10, 15 minutes later, if you made it, then the stress hormones stop and you go back to life again. In today's world, stress is 24/7, 365. We are inhibiting our growth and our immune system every day by the stresses that we're living under. But all of a sudden I realized I can't die. I'm immortal. And with that immortal character in my mind, the fear of those threats disappear. I don't want to die, but I'm also not on edge. And my whole world changed because now I understand, to my scientific point of view, the truth. And here it is. You don't die and go to heaven. You were born into heaven. You came here to live your creativity. You came here to experience things. And then I realized how many people don't have life experiences. Why? Because they're living in fear. They're behind the wall. I'm back here. I'm protecting myself. But they're not living here. And as a result, their lives don't have the joy of recognizing, while I'm here, I'm a creator. If I'm a creator, then why not I create what? Heaven, because heaven is everybody's personal creation. I am now owning my creative character. I do the things that I feel that are in harmony with my life, and I disregard any of the things that are causing disharmony. And therefore, I am honored to say, I have been living on heaven for about 30 or 40 years now, and it works, and it's great, because joy is what I have every day. The fear stuff might show up, but it also goes away very quickly because I don't hold on to it anymore. I took back the power. And this is, for me, the most important message to give people. Max Planck and others said the mind is the matrix of all matter, meaning the mind is creating this. Mm-hmm. We are creating. That is the established rule, number one of the most valid science on the planet, quantum physics. And I say to people, well, if your consciousness is creating this world, how's that working out?
Yeah.
And people go, it's not really working out. Look at all this world problems here. And I go, are you creating them? Or are you playing a program? Everybody is. The brain is a computer. In the old days, you go to the store, buy a brand new computer, bring it home, plug it in, push start, the screen boots up. And I say, okay, now do something with your computer. No, I can't. I say, no, not until I put some programs into the computer can I use it. If there's no program, there's nothing you can do. So it turns out the human brain gets programmed in the first 7 years of life by observing other people and downloading their programs. Well, there's a problem because the people we observe are not living in health and harmony, and then we download their behavior and we don't live in health and harmony. And they say, genes were passed during this. No, behavior was passed. So the relevance is to recognize that 95% of the day, and this is absolute science, the behaviors that we play do not come from our creative wishes, desires, conscious mind. The spirit. 95% of the day, the behavior is coming direct out of the programs, direct play program. And the problem with it is twofold. Number one, we downloaded the programs from other people. So we downloaded their good stuff and we downloaded their bad stuff, okay, at the same time. And number two, and this is the critical part, when we are playing our programs from our subconscious, the reason we're playing the programs is we're thinking, which means we're not paying attention. Paying attention means you look out the eyes and look at, like driving the car, you're looking out the windshield, okay? But thinking is not looking out. Thinking is looking in. There's a thought. It's inside. So the moment you were thinking, you're not paying attention to the outside. The conscious mind is observing the world. But if the conscious mind is thinking, it's not observing the world, it's inside. But what if I'm driving the car and all of a sudden I start thinking, now I'm not paying attention? Subconscious is autopilot. The moment you are thinking, the behavior is controlled by subconscious. When you are thinking 95% of the day, the behavior is taken over by the programs, but you do not see that behavior because you're thinking. And so whatever program is playing, you're unaware of it. And so go back to the programming period. Up to 60% of the things we downloaded by observing mother, father, family, community, and downloading, up to 60% are disempowering or self-sabotaging or beliefs that don't support us. So that means 95% of the day I'm thinking, then 60% of that day when the programs are playing, those 60% are sabotaging me. And I don't see it. So what do I see? At the end of the day, I see the result. but I didn't see my involvement. And therefore, the average person says, oh, I'm a victim. Things happened to me. I wanted to be healthy, successful, have a great relationship. I wanted those things, but they're not here. So it must be those people interfering with my creation. Wake up, folks. You were running the show the entire time. Just unfortunately, you were using 95% of the time to play the programs, which have dysfunctions in them. But during that 95% of the time, you do not observe the programs because you're the reason you're playing them is your conscious not paying attention. This is what quantum physics has been trying to tell you for 100 years. And the science of epigenetics is the biology of that, because epigenetics reveals that your genes are controlled by your conscious mind. And all of a sudden, that supports everything the physics said. Yeah, biology now supports it. Why? Your mind consciousness is adjusting your genetics and your behavior. Well, this is exactly what quantum physics was saying, but this is now a biological mechanism.
We're coming to the end of our time together, so I'm going to end Bruce Lipton there. You can find out more about him at brucelipton.com. I also recommend his interview on David Ferrugio's show, Dead Talks. David also really cares about the grieving and loves exploring the afterlife. And he's got some great guests. Check out deadtalks.com. Don't forget to come visit me at wedontdie.com. You can join my Patreon club, take a class, or attend our free Sunday gathering with medium demonstration. I want to leave you with two great quotes. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. That's by Gandhi. And as author Mike Dooley says, thoughts become things, so choose the good ones. There's so much more to us than meets the eye. I hope you've enjoyed this episode today. And you practice consciously creating your own thoughts. And remember the experiment with the astronaut. You are not your body or your cells that might be in a test tube 350 miles away. You are the in-between. You are the everlasting. You are eternal and so much more. I'm Sandra Champlain. Thank you for listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Make sure and check out all our shows on the iHeartRadio app or by going to iHeartRadio.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.